Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Good morning. It's all about you. I think that song is about music and about exercising your faith appropriately when praise and worship is happening. But I think it could be referred to work as well, in that work is really just a vehicle for your faith, isn't it? So, where are we? Okay, good morning. I'm Dan Adams, and Pastor Bells has asked me here to share on the theme of faith and work. Now, unlike Sean and Elena, I actually don't talk a lot, but the good news is that I read, so I'm going to read for you what I would say if I did talk. As an aircraft maintenance engineer, I repair and maintain wide-body passenger aircraft, such as 747, 777, 787, A340s, and A330s. At Pearson Airport, I work on a crew of nine, and we are responsible for international airlines that have contracts with my employer. So we're known as the contract crew. It may be as simple as a walk-around check to confirm that the aircraft is safe to return home, or there may be defects that I have to resolve before further flight. Where am I? There are a variety of issues that I may be faced with, from coffee makers to engines, light bulbs to flight management computers, seats to hydraulic flight controls. In a nutshell, if it's broken, it's my problem. Now, the question of faith, as it relates to my job specifically, is a tough one. In my field, we go to great lengths to remove any chance of human error. We use cotter pins to prevent nuts from backing off. We use torque seals to show if a nut or a bolt has turned from its original position. If there's a possibility that some bolts might loosen and cause a safety concern, we tie them together with lock wire. There are sensors for everything. For important systems and components, there are backup systems, and sometimes there's a backup for the backup. We have training, and sometimes training just to review the training. Currently, I am doing some online human factors training, where we have to learn about how stress and distraction can impact our job performance. Excuse me. The training basically forces me to suffer every human factor. We also have regulations, manuals, step-by-step procedures, and various other safety nets to all but guarantee that safety will not be compromised. Now, that's not to say that I don't need the fruit of spirit to get through my day. But when you consider all that, from my perspective, maintaining airworthiness is not where faith comes into my job. It's possible I've missed something here, and I'll be serving detention after service to learn where I've gone wrong. But at the end of the day, it seems unlikely to me that I'm doing God's work by fixing airplanes. It suits my personality with its borderline OCD requirements, and I do enjoy the work itself, but I've come to learn it's not the reason why I'm there. And when I started at Air Canada, which is actually a company I tried to avoid, my plans were to work 8 to 10 years on the floor, climb as many rungs in management as I possibly could, and then retire to my own private company. When I look back now, it's almost comical. All the opportunities were there to see my plan through to fruition, but there were obstacles in my way. They were moral obstacles. Another odd thing is that when I started, I had little to no respect for unions. But so far, I have served my membership in various capacities and am currently an elected member of the executive board. As it turns out, it seems that the reason a boy from Sudbury with an aversion to big cities has ended up working at Canada's busiest airport is because there's work to be done there, but it's not on planes. It's work that I find exceedingly difficult, as dealing with people is not my forte by a long shot. As Mike said last week, there is no specified technique for healing, making it a lot different from aircraft maintenance. This makes serving God's children complicated at best. Negotiating for a group of them with countless national backgrounds and faiths makes it even more so. On my crew of nine, there is a Hungarian, a Serbian, a Bulgarian, Iranian, a Pole, Italian, Pakistani, East Indian, and me. There are Muslims, Jews, Christians, I suspect atheists, but let's not come up. It is amazing, though, when I reflect and see how it has all come together for me. The building blocks were all there, including giving me a very supportive and caring wife. Amen. But I had no idea what God was planning. And not being a particularly outgoing person myself, serving as a union officer has put me in a unique position where God's work actually comes to me. People all around us quietly are unable to turn pages. Suffer from various problems. Sometimes these issues can follow a person to work and cause, at times, very severe complications to their relationship with their employer. Most times, people just need to talk to someone who understands their complicated work environment. Had I executed my own plan for myself, I would not be in a position to do anything about any of these issues. Every day, I'm thankful that he instilled in me the good sense to not just up and chase my own ideas. I need to get better at seeking his guidance and more readily accepting what he has planned for me. It was in a rail yard in the late 1800s that 19 men formed the union that I belonged to. At that time, only white men were allowed to join. And it wasn't until the mid-1900s, actually, that changed. It's shameful, really. But over time, unions, including mine, have become advocates pursuing equal rights. Recently, at a Grand Lodge convention I attended as a delegate, I got to see how equal opportunity is now the norm. Also, every session at that convention was opened with prayer, asking for God's guidance as we seek to see all his children treated fairly. It's not a scene I can see playing out in a company boardroom. God has lovingly and patiently awaited me to follow his direction so that I can be in a place that he can use me. Matthew 5:16 says, "Even so, let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Well, God doesn't come up in every conversation at work, but I do my best to make sure that his light does. When the time is right, he creates the opportunity. Being Labor Day weekend, I cannot help but reflect on all the good things that unionism has helped us and bring us in North America. The 5-day work week, paid vacation, safety standards, stat holidays, equal opportunity, and an end to child labor. I believe these things to be in line with what God wants for his people. Certainly, there's biblical evidence that labor is healthy for the spirit, but I think he wants us to have time for him and our families first. In my place of employment, God has led me to the union side of the bargaining table. I am grateful to be of service to him and to his children. I pray for his guidance to help me carefully navigate the very complicated situations that exist there. Through him and the opportunity that he has provided, I intend to make a better world for my union brothers and sisters, my children, and their children. There is a nut that holds the main rotor onto the shaft of some helicopters. Without this one nut, the helicopter will simply fall out of the sky. It has been nicknamed the Jesus nut. Without it, nothing else matters. Whatever you spend your time doing, listen for God's instruction. It's there, and it's probably why you're there. Thank you.
Back to Sean's height. Anyway, I'm going to hold it. Well, unlike the others, they don't have the education that went with their jobs and what they're doing or training, But I was just reminded by the Lord, as we often have talks about this in my life, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, most of my employment has been part-time, except for the first 6 years of after college when I worked as a medical secretary at St. Mike's Hospital in Toronto in the psychiatry ward. And then shortly after that with World Vision for 3 years. I've done everything from schoolyard duty, which was paid back years ago, good pay, retail, Tim Hortons. We've housed students. I've done census, door-to-door, enumeration door-to-door. I've worked election days. I've cleaned my neighbor's house. I've looked after neighbor's children after the mother passed away. And currently, I've been a cashier at Home Depot for the last 8 years. God's word and prayer have guided and shaped me. And the people I've worked with and the circumstances of my job have made me real and kept me in touch with the real needs of real people. And they certainly show me what I'm made of. And on the days when that's something ugly, well, that's another tool that God uses to reshape me and help me become more like Him. And believe me, those never stop. There's often an occasion where you slip back in. Yesterday was one of those where just for a moment I had that selfish urge just to be fleshly, right? And then God's reminding me of Scripture, and as I turned that to Him in prayer, how instantly, how wonderfully He just took and changed my heart and mind, and I could go on even within seconds and be the person that He called me to be. And so I'm very thankful for that. I believe that first of all, as others have shared, I'm a child of God, first of all, who's rescued me from sin and darkness and the mindset of the world, and by the life and death of Jesus Christ. So my first loyalty is to Jesus. So this is my desire. Do I always exhibit this in my actions and reactions and choices and decisions at work? Well, sadly, no. But my desire every day is to begin anew, seek the Lord's mind and strength and love to fill and guide me. How do I express my faith in the workplace with all these kinds of different jobs? Well, the one thing I have often honored that I aspire, now hold on to that word for me in case you think I do all these things all the time. Always I aspire to do is to honor my superiors, to pray for the businesses I work for, and that sometimes I've had a chance to share that with. I just came to mind now one job I had back in Elmer where I shared that with the business owners where I worked for because I knew they were going through some transition, so I let them know that I was praying for them and for the decisions they had to make for the future. That I do my best to abstain from gossip and negative talk. That I want to build up my co-workers when they're discouraged or they've done something kind that I think nobody else will recognize. I try to honor them and lift them up. I try to accept tasks cheerfully and often with my quirky sense of humor. I pray a lot, and anybody who knows you or me or heard from me, you know that's something I love to do is pray. I pray for people. I see what they're going through. I pray for them. And as Dan said, they may not know you're praying, but you're still praying for them. You take opportunity to offer to pray for people's needs when that comes up as well. We even had a man a few years ago in the job I'm in now who found out about something we were doing here as part of our one, and he gave a sizable contribution for me to bring to the church. That really blew me away. And he's sponsoring a compassion child through another Christian network who influenced him. I try to help financially when there's need with coworkers. If there's a need, like Sean was sharing, that you try to do something. I haven't always done that perfectly, but that's where my heart is, and I would want to do that whenever I can. I'm thankful to God for a husband that doesn't even know I'm doing it or doesn't. I don't have to check in with him. I just do it. I seek forgiveness when I haven't loved like Jesus. And this is a big one that I believe we really need to do. And we can be in any walk, profession of life, is seeking forgiveness when we know we've failed. And I think that's really important. And in fact, something came to me earlier this morning that I'm going to go to someone at work and just reiterate what went on in a meeting the other day and where I really want to be of help and not a hindrance in my job. I try to be honest and trustworthy because they're counting on me, and never before in a job as much as the one I'm in now, I hear that so often. It almost makes you shudder a bit to know that people count on you so much that hold you to such a high standard. I'll come back late from a break the other day, and I was, and she said, well, if it had been anyone else, but I knew because it was you, something come up and think, oh my goodness, you're holding me, like, you know, to this high, high standard. Or if it's anything to do with money, they'll say, if we can't trust you, who can we trust? And that also is very humbling. So it's very important as believers, we are living the way God called us, right down to the penny, in or whatever it is, accepting God, to expecting Him to work through us. Something I'll also, kind of, it's my personality as well, may as well as my faith, is standing up for those who have been falsely accused or misunderstood or are discouraged. When I was working at Tim Hortons, they'd have boss that wasn't very kind, and she said to a 14-year-old, you'll never amount to anything, and just treated him horrible. And I moved in there as fast as I could to do some repairing work in this young boy's life. It makes a huge difference, I believe. And another one, it was, I was working out west when we lived in BC, and I was working at Fabricland, and I was a little stretched. I was a little beyond where my expertise was, but they gave me the job. So I was working there. I was working with many, many ethnic backgrounds, and it was a wonderful experience. But I found, though, even though it was so multicultural, multi-ethnicity, whites were still held in some kind of high place, which is kind of an uncomfortable thing. So I was given privileges to do something they weren't training other people, and that just really irked me. So one day I just took a girl with me and took her right up into an area they hadn't let her and taught her, and they just kind of looked at, glared at me, and I was like, bring it on. Like, she's been here longer than me, and why do I get to do this? And she doesn't even say that. We just did it. Another one was falsely accused of stealing something, just assumed, and I said, you don't know that. Let's look for it. Let's do this, right? So I think that that's something else that God wants us to do, to stand in the place of others and help them. I love working with the young people at Home Depot. Many, a lot of turnover. We love students and young people come. I really like being with them, trying to challenge them, encourage them, and bless them in different ways as I can. Sometimes I kind of act like a mom, too, I know. Sometimes when Jesus gives him the opportunity to speak his name whenever possible, or a teaching from scripture that just seems to come to mind, it's the right time and the right place. So those are all things that I love. Scripture really guides me. I memorize scripture on a regular basis, so often I take my memory book with me to work. When at quiet moments, I'm going over the scriptures, so they're feeding my heart and mind as I deal with people. Ephesians 4:29 says, speak what is helpful in building others up according to their need and live a life of love. But most recently, the one that's really sticking with me is Colossians 4:6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, I'm going to end this by going back to a very important beginning. In 1972, a young woman lived her faith on the job, spoke of her relationship with Jesus, prayer and Bible study, and I put my faith in Him. I came to know and walk with Jesus because of a living testimony in the workplace. And when Mike asked me about church today, that just popped into my head right away. It was like, I came to faith in the workplace because of a faithful believer who lived their life and shared Jesus and prayed for me. And then she went beyond that. She became my friend and helped to mentor me and fed me scripture so how I'd know how to memorize it, invited me to prayer meetings, and then introduced me to Myrna, who's sitting over here, part of our fellowship, so that Myrna took me on as a roommate. She didn't even know me, and I was a new Christian. She took a risk because word at work was that I'd become a Christian out of what, motorcycle gang, which was really pretty funny. I'd never been on one. But anyway, things, you know, get a little elaborated to make it more interesting, I guess. But Myrna has been a real blessing to me because of that. So just going back to, like, sharing our faith in the workplace as God gives, just don't forget that He might use you. to lead others to Christ or renew their relationship with Him. Maybe as a child they went to church or Sunday school or accepted Jesus at a camp or vacation Bible school. We don't know what God is doing in someone's heart, so we need to pray and make ourselves available. So I am one who is very, very thankful for someone who shared their faith in the workplace. Thank you.
Four stories, four different individuals, different types of work, and yet the same God at work in each of those four and impacting their relationships at work. And that gets multiplied over and over again by every person here and in the places where God has you and where He's placed you. In your sort of newsletter for this month,
we pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.